tithes and our offerings. And that's a, when you're giving unto God, especially when you're giving your tithe, it is an identifier of who you are and whose you are, literally. And so it's literally saying that I've been blessed. God was the source of that blessing. And I am going to give him the first part of that back. And he is going to bless all of it like I gave all of it. And I'm just giving a part of it. That's an awesome God. He could ask for all. And you know, in the Bible days, when it comes to God, certain gods asked for certain things. And some of them asked for your babies. And so some people did indeed burn their babies to their gods because that's what the gods were asking. But God said, give me the first 10% of the blessing that I have given you. And then I'll consider it like you gave me 100% of that. And I will bless you on top of that for bringing to me what I brought to you. That's awesome. And it's an identifier of who you are and whose you are. And so I think it's interesting, and there's a whole Genesis 30. I'm going to read a scripture I've read before, I believe. But it was something that was just kind of sticking out to me this morning, Deuteronomy 26:5. This is what, when Israel would come to bring their tithes to church, they all had to say this. It tells them exactly what to say. So every year, they would say the exact same thing, and they would say, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. That's how they would begin their giving. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. He went down into Egypt, hung out there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But what's interesting to me about that is it's talking about Jacob. It's talking about Israel. He spent 20 years in Syria. And so the scripture said that he was confused, and a Syrian ready to perish, that's the King James Version, was my father. And that ready to perish is one word in the Hebrew, and it literally means to lose yourself. To lose yourself. And that's exactly what happened to this young man. He lost himself. And then he found himself. And that's what giving is all about, is that revelation of literally the revelation that Jacob experienced from God when he discovered by himself through the voice of God, through the appearance of God, whose he is, who he is, and what he is. And so you're not Jacob, you're Israel. You're not a person, you're a people. And that's a revelation that he receives from his Almighty God. And every time that the Israelites would pay tithes in Canaan, they would go back to that history and say, I'm so thankful that my dad found himself. And he found himself by finding God. And when he found God, he found himself. So that's what we're going to read about in Genesis 30. Verse 25, let's just start there. Came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee. And that was 14 years of service, 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel. And in those 14 years, they had 11 boys and one girl. And so during that time of service, he's got four wives now, and he's got 12 kids. Give me those for the service which I've done. Laban said, if I found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by divination, by experience, that the Lord hath blessed me because of you. And Laban said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. So Jacob said to him, you know how I served you and how the cattle was with me. For it was little which you had before I came. It's now increased into a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed you since my coming, which literally is like at my feet. Wherever I turn, you prosper. Wherever I turn, you prosper. And now, when will I provide for my own house? So Laban said, what shall I give thee? And this is important. Jacob said, nothing. You'll give me nothing. If you will do this thing for me, give me nothing. I will again keep the flock. I will pass through all the flock today, removing all the speckled, spotted, brown cattle among the sheep, spotted, speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. Skip all the way down to the last verse. Well, verse 34 is important too, because Laban says, well, let it be according to your word, which is a pretty big mistake. But this last verse, verse 43, says, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, and camels and asses. In verse 1 of chapter 31, Laban's son said, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which our father hath, he has gotten all this glory. And then out of the mouth of his wives, Rachel and Leah, verse 16, they said, all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. But I think verse 43 is where I want to settle down for a little while. As Jacob is feeling the, he's feeling the unction or the calling or the purpose to provide for his own family now. And he said, where or when am I going to provide for my own if I keep on providing for years to Laban? So Laban says, name your price. Here's my price. No price. He said, my righteousness is going to answer for me. And the scripture said, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, camels, and asses. Righteousness. Right there, righteousness. That is the level of complete, total abundance. Righteousness. Go ahead and be seated. Have you ever lost yourself? Have you ever lost yourself? And I'm talking in the spirit realm. It's a big difference, I think, between having an identity crisis in the natural and having one in the spiritual. And so whenever you are a spiritual being having an identity crisis, it's hard for there to be some kind of a bridge between the natural and the spiritual, because they've been mixed, but they've not been mixed in your mind. So you are flesh, you are spirit. Your spirit's been awakened by the Spirit of God. Everyone that's been born again of water, spirit, you've literally been born from above, but that doesn't mean you feel like that. That doesn't mean you even believe it. It's true, but it doesn't mean that you believe it. But you might be short, fat, tall, skinny, ugly, pretty, good at something, strong. Whatever looks back at you in the mirror is not a very good indicator of who you are in God. And whenever they start to mix, it's dangerous, because you can feel like you're not fitting into the kingdom of God when you are. Doesn't mean that your feeling is right. And if you go by the feeling, then you're going to mess up who you are in the spirit. And whenever I start to look at the spirit world and try to manipulate it via my fleshly world, then I really start finding myself in a dilemma. Because I cannot I can't manipulate the spirit with the flesh. I can fight the spirit with the flesh, but I cannot work for good with my flesh in the spirit in a fleshly manner. They are always going to be butting heads. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. The spirit lusteth against the flesh. That's Galatians chapter 5. And so if I feel strong in the natural, that doesn't mean I feel strong in the spiritual. If I'm used to getting my identity from being strong in the natural, when I turn 43 years old and things break down, I don't feel as strong. And if that's where I gauge my strength in the spirit, I'm in trouble. Because I don't look like what I used to look like, and I don't feel like what I used to feel like. And that's the natural man trying to tell the spiritual man, this is who you are. What are you good at in the natural? That doesn't mean anything to the spiritual. I think that it can, and I think oftentimes God uses natural characteristics, but that's not a good identifier for who you are in God, just what you're good at naturally. That is probably a good hang up for you in the spirit, because that's what you can do without God. And so if you're very good naturally at singing, that's a hang up for you in the kingdom of God, because you don't need God to sing. So you can just sing, you can just throw down, and you don't need the anointing of God to help you. Same with talking, and same with teaching, and same with making money, and everything that we're naturally directed towards, that doesn't mean that's what we are in the spirit. And it can mess us up in the spirit. And eventually, whenever the natural man begins to wear down, we can start to say, who in the world am I? And so I think you lose yourself about the time you start manipulating the fleshly things for the spirit. And that is exactly where he loses himself. That one day when he decides it's going to take somebody else to get blessed. And that's what he does. He acts like he's his twin brother, Esau. But he's not alone. His mom says, I'll be with you, and I will bear the weight of this if it goes bad. If by chance your dad figures out you're not Esau, you're Jacob, and he curses you instead of blesses you, let that curse be on me. But it works out. He gets blessed. But then it doesn't work out, because dad does find out he was a deceiver and calls him that. Your brother came with fraud and took away your blessing. And Esau said, well, isn't he rightly named Jacob? And then he gives identity, new meaning when he calls, isn't he rightly named Jacob? Here's why. Because he has supplanted me twice. We understand that he was called Jacob, which does mean supplanter, because he grabbed his brother by the heel after he was born, which is also another meaning of the name. But now Esau is naming Jacob according to his fraud. That's who Jacob is, rightly called Jacob. He's a fraud because he deceived me. He supplanted me these two times. And once dad dies, we bury him, I'm killing Jacob. And now mom doesn't have his back so much, and she says, there's no point in me losing both of you in one day. I can live with losing you. So you run along to where I'm from, go back to my house, get a wife over there, and whenever he's calmed down, I'll call for you. And so here, in one moment, not only does Jacob lose himself, his identity's shaken, he loses everything. And matter of fact, the woman that signed him up for the task to begin with is good with losing him. He's by himself, feeling the weight of this loss. And here he is, alone. God opens up the heavens. He's awesome in this place. I didn't know it. There's promise that was spoken to him from a man standing on top of a staircase. And the Lord said, the place where you're lying right now is yours. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your seed. And he said, moreover, your seed will break forth from the west, east, north, south. I'm going to bless you. In you, families of the earth are going to be blessed. So you are a blessed man. And so Jacob says, well, if this is true, I'm going to make a vow to you. And this is where the whole tithing thing comes in from Deuteronomy 26. If you take care of me, if you bring me back in wholeness to my father's house, thank you, elder. If you bring me back in wholeness and peace to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And of everything you give me, I will give a tenth back to you. And so, if you are doing all these things, give me something to wear, give me something to eat, if you're going to be with me, protect me wherever I go, then you'll be my God. And I will give 10% to you, which is signifying you're my God. And so he goes on his journey. And he suffers more loss. And the scripture said that the first deal he enters into, this brute of a young man, Jacob, young being 70-something years old, 77 or so years old, is his uncle Laban says, hey, you shouldn't just work for free. What do you want? So Jacob says, well, I really like your daughter. I don't have any money. How about I serve you 7 years for Rachel? There are but a few days to him because he's in love. Love's crazy like that. And after 7 years, Laban doesn't give him Rachel. He gives him Leah. And he says, here's the thing. It's not done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn, which Jacob should have known right there, is a massive lie. Because his mother, Rebecca, was given, younger one, given before Laban. In Genesis 24. Rebecca's married before Laban. Laban's her older brother. So matter of fact, in God's country, he takes over your country, and that's exactly how it goes, that the second born is before the firstborn, if that's the case. But he just loses his strength and lets this happen to him. And then Laban says, but here I'll hook you up with 7 more years of service and I'll give you Rachel. So 14 years Jacob is serving for his wives. And ultimately, when you read the sad state of affairs in chapter 31 and the girl's testimony in verse number 15 talking about their dad, they said, we're counted of him as strangers. He sold us and he's devoured our money. Their dowry, in other words. They said, we don't have any portion anymore in our father's house. So whenever you've got girls like that who become Jacob's wives and they are completely devalued, I think it's a God thing whenever there's a man willing to work 14 years to marry both of them. Because that's a man giving 7 years of his life to marry me. That tends to raise your value a lot. That's a lot more than like 50 horses. Just bring me a couple thousand dollars. No, I've worked 14 years for my wives. You know you're valued when somebody is willing to serve for you. And so this does work for God's kingdom purpose, and that is it raises their value of themselves. Otherwise, they would have none because their father was stripping it from them. Counting them as strangers, devouring all their money, taking their dowry. No inheritance at all, except for the fact that God has taken everything that was our dad's and given it to us and our children. And so he worked 14 years. That's labor. That's serving. And at the end of that 14 years of service, it's time for him to go. And Laban says, you know, my gods, I divined via my gods that the Lord hath blessed me because of you. And Jacob knows the exact same thing. And that's a whole different level of influence. It's one thing for somebody to be good at taking care of cattle. And it's another thing for you to be so in love with somebody that you're willing to work however long it's going to take to marry them. You're going to serve and you are going to go the whole 14 years, be a man of your word, and fulfill your contract because you value them that much. And it's another thing to be so good at what you're doing in service that the thing you are doing multiplies. How many of you know you could work for 14 years and there never be any growth at all? But you still worked 14 years, therefore the wives are mine, the kids are mine. Doesn't mean that there was good things going on. I endured. Sure, nothing happened. Sure, there was some loss, blah, blah, blah. But hey, give me my wives. I fulfilled my part of the bargain. But the scripture said it wasn't like that for Jacob. Everything he was around was blessed. He could not serve without people being blessed. They are around him. They're being blessed. Laban says, my God even told me that your God's blessing me. My God told me your God is blessing me. That's an amazing thing to know, that the blessing of God is everywhere you turn. And how many of you understand that right there is a prophecy to Jacob coming to pass, that in you and in your children, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Favor is blessing everywhere, even as enemies are being blessed. How many of you know that when you've got blessing and you've got God's favor on your life, circumstances, people, and environment do not dictate what happens, the favor that comes, because it is a spiritual blessing. That's what that word increase is. It's the same exact word as Genesis 28:14, the prophecy, your seed will break forth. The blessing has increased Laban's flock. And Jacob says, everywhere I turn, blessing is coming to you. Everywhere I turn, blessing's coming to you. Here's the problem that Jacob's having, though. How come everywhere I turn, blessing is coming to you, and I don't feel blessed? How come everywhere I turn, blessing is coming to your stuff? What about my household? How come everything I'm doing for you, Laban, has been increased and has been multiplied, and here I am without a house, without a land, without a home, 20 years, I've been gone away from my family. What about all this? You've got to understand something when it comes to favor and when it comes to blessing, that favor is not for personal consumption. It isn't. Blessing is upon the people of God to bless. Blessing and favor is not where I grow myself. It's where God flows out of me wherever I turn. Favor, blessing comes with the people of God. It just does. That's why you should never worry about there being a miracle if there's a need for a miracle, because favor's going to come out of you whatever the need is. The environment doesn't matter. I'm talking about your enemies. Laban is his enemy. His father-in-law changes his wages 10 times, lies to him, all this stuff, and it still flows because you can't stop this flow. You cannot dictate the terms of this blessing. If you're around me, you just got to let people know that probably. If you're around me, like it or not, you're going to be blessed. I hate to break the news to you. You aren't going to be able to be sad and depressed around me, because blessings come in your way if you're around me. You won't be able to be all disappointed and hopeless around me. You won't be able to live without revelation around me. If I'm there, blessing's going to be there for you.
So if you want to stay depressed, sad, all that kind of stuff, you better hit the road today, because there's a bunch of blessed people here, and blessing is circulating around the building, not for me, for you. It's not for us, it's for the person I'm sitting next to, the environment that I'm living in. Everywhere I go, the blessing of God is touching the land. That's a breakthrough that you've got to get a revelation of. It's not just how good are you at serving. How long can you endure? It's also, do you know who you are according to God's promise? God's promise said, you will be a blessing. Your children will be a blessing. And that does not start when you've got a whole 70 people total going down to Egypt. It starts with one person recognizing God's with me. God's with me. It just flows. When did he learn how to do all this stuff? When did he turn out to be such a good shepherd? When did he learn all this stuff? He didn't do that before. He learned it at 70-something years of age. Because favor, just that same with Joseph. Prison, Potiphar's house, field, household, it doesn't matter. It's going to be blessed because Joseph's there. That's what he did to make the blessing happen. That's what he did to make the blessing happen. He showed up. That's what you've got to understand right there. That's what you do for the blessing to touch other people. You show up. There's no question whether or not someone's going to be blessed if you're there. Because the blessing is behind you, right? The blessing will overtake you. There's something following believers. It's just going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be casting out a devil, laying hands on the sick, picking up a snake. I don't know what it is. But there's something going to happen because you're there. And you've got to buy into that amount of, I have blessing for whoever wants it. It's not for me, and so I might as well spend it on everybody else. I might as well go crazy dropping it on everybody because I'm not meant to partake of it myself. It's blessing. It's just a literal promise to the people of God. Everywhere you are, blessing. You can't not overcome sin with abundant grace. And that's what it is. It's much more. Romans 5, how many times is it much more? It's like five times. Much more, much more, much more. In relation to the worst of humanity, God, much more. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. That's you. That's what you're showing up with, whether you're going to work, going to the jail, going to the store, going to your neighborhood, going into your own house, going around your family. You've got that favor, blessing that's going to overcome sin. And wherever that is abounding, grace is going to blow it away. And you don't got to do anything but just recognize the fact, I can't help but bless you. There's nothing wrong with recognizing you just won the stinking spiritual lottery being around me today. That gives God glory. That gets other gods literally telling people that God's awesome. And you can do all that and you can still be like, but what about me? What about how am I going to provide or when am I going to provide for my own family? So Laban sees another deal coming on. And how many of you understand that when I say that you're serving for two women for 14 years? And I'm saying now every guy in here would give their life for their wife, and that's not talking smack, that's truth. Every one of you would get in front of a bullet for your wife. Every one of you would turn into Superman if somebody's threatening your family. And you're going to go down before any of them are touched. We know that. But it's not a good deal, 14 years for two wives. It's not a good deal. And the reason why that's not a good deal is show me another person in Scripture, especially one of the patriarchs, that's got to work for a wife. Nobody. They either get the wife for free, or they get their wife for free. That's just the way it is. It doesn't mean they get to choose who it is, but they're getting their wife for free, except for Jacob. And the reason why he doesn't get his women like his dad got his mother from the same land, facing off with his mother's brother, is he's allowing for his mother's brother to dictate how much he makes. He's allowing for that man to be in control of, if I do this, I get this. And it's according to the custom of our land. What that sounds like is, you fast 40 days, you get ministry. You pray this much, you get ministry. You put in this amount of work, you get this little of benefit. 14 years, and he's got nothing financial to show for it. He does not have a future. He cannot right now provide for his family. But he's worked 14 years for two wives because Laban says, name your wages. Let's make a deal. And the moment a man of faith gets into a contract, you're losing. You're signing up for something. That's what you're getting. And when you start to believe in that kind of stuff, that is exactly what you're going to get. If you believe that you cannot heal somebody in the name of Jesus without the gifts of healings, that's exactly what you're going to get. How many of you know you do not need the spiritual gift of healing? You just need the name of Jesus. Those signs will follow believers unless you feel like I can't, unless I've got one of those spiritual gifts. And the only way I can get one of those spiritual gifts is I have got to work this much, and then I'm going to reap this much. And it's an amazingly small number. Because when you talk about favor and blessing, it's increased, it's broken out, and it's multiplied. In other words, you can't count it. When it comes to 14 years for two wives, you can count it because it's 1, 2. How many of you feel like I've put in 14 years for two? I'm not talking about your marriage right now. Just to make that clear, I'm talking about how long have you been serving God? What did you get? What did you get? What can you literally say? I did not have this. I now have this. Jacob says, 14 years, I got two wives that I worked for. I've got two I didn't want, and I've got 11 kids. 14 years worth. He's almost 100 years old now. Time's running out for him. He's out of strength. He's not in his right land. He hasn't seen his parents in how long. We don't even know if he ever sees his mother alive again. He's been gone a long time, 14 years, two women. Here's the deal I'm striking with you, God. I will not do this, I will not do that, and I will not do this, and I pray for pennies. Give me crumbs and I will fast and I will pray and I will speak and I will believe. But here's what I'm working for. And you can have something that you feel like you earned. Or you can go to another realm called blessing where you get what you do not earn and you do not deserve. It's because of God's goodness. How many of you know that Laban, he got 14 years of service, but he also got innumerable blessing. The whole multitude of cattle he had increased exponentially whenever Jacob showed up, because the blessing of God is a greater deal than something that I can count. That's that whole, I want to go in the vineyard for one penny a day, and that's a good deal until other people believe in grace. And they get one penny an hour. Then you're like, what in the world? This isn't right. And it was right when you signed the contract. That's the problem. Don't get into a contract with the God who wants to do this based off of His goodness, His glory. If you want to get into a contract with God, you literally are going to make it to where one person named Moses gets to meet God. And everybody else says, we'll do what he says. And God wanted everybody to be Moses. God didn't want there to be a difference. He didn't want there to be superstars. He wanted everybody to be Moses. But Israel said, we're going to go on a contract. You tell us what he wants us to do, we'll do it. And Moses knew the ways of God. The people knew the acts of God. They saw what he did. Moses knew who he was. And Moses has such a relationship with God that God literally takes him away himself, buries him somewhere himself. God takes care of Moses at 120 years of age because there's a relationship where he says, we don't play games, me and Moses. We're face to face. And even if you're a prophet yourself, you don't talk about my boy. And how many of you understand that Numbers 12, God saying, don't talk about my boy, was meant to be every boy. But there was one who decided, let's do this based off of relationship and not contract. That's the deal here. It's going from, I will put this work in and I will reap this. I was thinking about this morning. I was saying, you know how many times I've come to church, God, on a Sunday? I wonder how many Sundays I've been to church. I wonder exactly what I could add up and say, and here's what I've seen. I'm tired of contract. That next level of blessing, it starts to break through, which means you're not going to be able to number it. That is what you do with others. Influence on others. But that third dimension is the dimension that matters. Because you can be blessing and not feel like you're blessed. But then Jacob says something to Laban. Laban says, all right, name your wage. Got me a good deal coming up. And he says, I don't know. There's no deal. There's no wage. There's no number. He said, this time, I'm going to bet my entire future on my righteousness. You know what's a very, very, I believe it's a funny thing, is that there's so many commentators that dig into this story of scraping up sticks and putting into the troughs, and the animals are looking at these sticks while they're having babies, and the babies come out looking like the sticks. If they're spotted, they're spotted. If they're striped, they're striped. And they say, well, this is back in the early days of blah, 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 blah. How many of you know, go home, try this. It will not work. Go ahead, get exactly what he had, the right sheep, the right goats, the same exact sticks, put lines in them, spots in them, put them in the troughs of water. When they're having babies, they're not going to come out looking like the sticks because it has nothing at all to do with the sticks. This wasn't a method to be duplicated. This was God showing off through somebody who said, I am not going to do it this time. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I am not going to use my strength. This time around, I am going to bet my future on my righteousness. What is righteousness? It's defined for us whenever Abraham is literally 75 years old and older. He's getting way past the age where you have babies. And he doesn't have any babies. And God said, you're going to have babies. And so he says, well, how in the world? What are you going to give me? I'm already too old. This is Genesis 15. So God says, come out here. He comes out of the tent at night. He goes, look up there. Stars everywhere. He says, count them. Could not count the stars. He said, so will your children be. And the Bible said that Abram believed him. And God counted it as righteousness. He counted it as done. Can you grab a hold of this man who just took on the world in battle and won? But for the miracle that's heavenly, the stars of the sky, that's a heavenly seed. It's way out of reach. And it's unbelievable. And how you are going to do this and how you're going to gain this, Abram, is do nothing but believe. Just say amen. And God says, done. And Paul says that's exactly how we get salvation. It's counted to us as righteousness when we believe by faith. When we say, yes, Lord, you're my Savior. You took my sins away. You paid all the price that needs to be paid. I don't need to pay anything else. And Paul said, done. Just like he looked at the stars and said, I believe it. You and I do the exact same thing, and the Bible counts it to us as righteousness. That's what only God can do. And it's what God wants to do. And it's what the promise of God will do in somebody's life when they start to believe this right here. I don't have to be awesome when I'm serving an awesome God. I just have to be able to bet my future on God making it good, making it awesome, God coming through. I just have to decide from here on out, I'm not going to be the hero. I'm not going to be the celebrity. I'm going to celebrate Him. That's righteousness. It's more than right standing. It's everything He did right that we could never do, and we get it wrong. But we choose to say, no more me. And I'm not going to bet my future on the blessing of heathens.
Probably a stronger statement sounding anyway, but what's coming out of me for sinners? I expect more for a son than what unbelievers are getting just by being around me.
The blessing that's going to bless the world? No, that's awesome, and it can't be counted on that level, but I want righteousness level. I want above the earth, out of reach, supernatural. Oh, you can't count it all, so glorious. That's the level I want right there. I don't want something that everybody that doesn't believe in God's getting. I want something that only a son of God can get. I want something Jesus could get. If Jesus takes it as an inheritance, I want it too. If He doesn't call it an inheritance, I don't want it.
So he bets his future on God. Which means God says, go do some crazy stuff that will never work again. Go scrape some stuff. And the animal's going to come out looking like that. That's supernatural. Completely. It's amazing how natural people try to get with the supernatural God.
You can't, that's, that has nothing at all to do with this guy knew about reproducing and mixing animals and blah, blah. This had everything to do with he saw an angel that told him exactly what to do. And he did it. And the scripture says the result, we got another breakthrough. But this time the scripture said the breakthrough is the man. The man. The man increased exceedingly. That's the same breakthrough word. In other words, my family doesn't need swag as much as they need a man who's broke through. Because if you get a man to break through, you'll be getting more than animals. Because you're not breeding maidservants and men servants, or camels, or asses. Just goats and sheep. But this man, he gets all the other stuff too. Maidservants, men servants, cattle, camels, asses. And that's all a result of the man breaking through. That's what you call on a righteousness level. Favor. And that's where people get into trouble. In the kingdom of God, using somebody's breakthrough as a model. Because it's like those sticks. It won't be duplicated. I know of people that are baptizing people in Jesus' name for healing. Not remission of sins, healing. And they're being healed. And you ask them why, it's because God told them to. But you don't write an article about that or a book about that. Because that's you. And you got some crazy sticks and some crazy way of animals bringing forth spotted cattle. And that's how righteousness flows through people. Completely unrational. Completely supernatural. And completely, you can't duplicate it, and you cannot count it. It's that awesome. That's the righteousness level. It's where people do something, shouldn't work, but God's in it. And it does work. Go cut off your foreskin, Abram! And that will connect you to the covenant. Nobody else but you is going to have that kind of access to me. That's righteousness. I don't care who you are and you circumcise your children. You're not in that covenant unless you're from Abraham's family. You understand what I'm saying? That's a righteousness thing. That is such a flow of glory and insight. That people start getting understanding that you can't get at college. We need supernatural business ideas that you can't get at some school. But somebody just believes this plus this will work and it does. We need people like that that get beyond the ordinary and they start to see, how can I expand me? How can I break out in righteousness? And if I can do that, I'll get everything. Literally saying, like Paul telling the church, you can have it all. Because it's already yours. And just understanding, if I could literally base my future off of that, it would happen. Everything, righteousness. Would be mine. That stuff that you could never earn, never work for, and it's stuff that unbelievers could never have access to. It's stuff God saves for His children. But it cannot be released until I start living on the realm of God's promise in His Word. And that's what happens. Before his children break forth, blessing, which is an answer to Genesis 28, 14, 15, himself, same thing, based off of Genesis 28, 14, 15. The church, how many promises do we have of their same exact thing? But we're not living on the high level of it. Because that requires faith, not action. That requires belief. That requires no deals. Whatever God's got up his sleeve is going to work. And you go for it. And if he asks you to fast 40 days, you do it. And if he's calling you to prayer 25 hours a day, you do it. And if he's wanting you to sell all your goods and go live on the street, you do it. Because there's something about that is righteousness, and it's going to work in you and for you. But it's not going to be the same across the board, and if it is the same across the board, who wants the altar call where if you need healing right here, Holy Ghost right there? What about like if you want to be a millionaire right there? If you want to be so rich that you can buy every country that doesn't have water sources right there. If you want to literally end the problem with orphans in places, right here. If you want the answer wisdom-wise to the issues in our government, boom, right there. If you want to be transported to cities, right over there. When you start getting apostolic on gifts, it's more than, if you want the Holy Ghost right here, healing right there. It's if you want what heaven offers. Quit making deals. If you want what heaven offers, quit believing you're on the same level as sinners. You make more money than me, that means you're more blessed than me. That's on the level of sinners. You got a better job, better car, a little bit better health? That's not blessing. Blessing's when you can't be around me and not be blessed. I can be around you and not be blessed. But you can't come around me and not be blessed. Because God gave me something for sinners. But that's not my inheritance. And I refuse to live on that level, as awesome as it is. I refuse to have that kind of faith, as awesome as it is. God has a resurrection level for the people of God beyond death, burial, resurrection, beyond 40 more days on the planet. He's got beyond this little earth that we're in right here. There's realms for the kingdom people where you can say, I wish I could tell you what I saw, but it's illegal.
What do you mean it's illegal?
That's crazy stuff. It's illegal for me to tell you that. It's illegal for me to tell you what I saw in the third heaven. God has got to send devils my way, lest I get so prideful because I'm that awesome. He's got to send a messenger of Satan to just kind of put me down a bit after everything he's showing me. Can you imagine having that kind of a mindset in the kingdom of God where you know people you've never met, you speak to churches you've never been to, you're reading mail, you're saying people's names in Colossae, and you've never been to the church? How do you know their names, son? I live in a realm you don't live in. You can't throw me to prison and stop the word flowing through me. And you can go ahead and you handicap me. I'm talking like I'm Paul, all right? You handicap me and you don't let me do anything I'm awesome at. And I'm still awesome. That's pretty amazing. I could go ahead and quote all 39 scrolls to you, but I won't. But I will tell you everything about the Old Testament that has to do with Christ. And bring revelation that Simon Peter said is hard to understand. Simon Peter said what Paul writes is hard to understand. He is beyond our brains. How'd you get there, Paul? God took me there. And it comes with that just, I refuse Laban's level of blessing. Which means that if it's weak, it's not mine. If it's weak, it's not mine. If it's weak, it's not mine. Anything that's crippled, sick, that's Laban's. Anything strong, that's mine. That's not cocky, that's not arrogance, that's Jacob stepping back into who he is. He's lost himself up until this moment. And he's starting to recognize the difference between me and Laban's my God. And it's in my God that my identity starts coming back to me. And I start to recognize the one chosen from his mother's womb. Do you feel that chosen? Do you feel like God's been working on you that long? It's God's will for every single one of us to feel like chosen. Not you lucked out to get here. God chose me. That's not arrogant. That's glorifying God. That's giving him glory and then looking at everything that God's putting into your life and recognizing God doesn't want any of the weak, dead, ugly, sick things. That's Laban's, that's Laban's, that's Laban's. All the strong ones are mine. What are you doing? I'm stepping into my identity. I'm stepping into who I am. Not many of us wise, not many of us blah, blah. But if you could get one of us righteous, boom. If you could get one of us to just believe the word. There you go. Because there's a lot of things in the church that are churchy, but they're not scriptural because we need physical because we don't believe who we are in the spirit. So I got to go, ah! In Jesus' name! Unless I believe the word, then I wouldn't have to. Then we just know it's done. That's not mine. Curse, no, that's not mine. Weakness, nope, that's not God. Nope, suffering, that's not God, not that. Anything that's not glorifying him is not mine. Anything that makes it look like he did not die on Calvary is not mine. That's yours. That's yours. That's yours. That's not mine. I'm not going to claim it. But if it's awesome, I'll take it. If it's unbelievable, I'll take it. If you can just get it by faith, I'll take it. That's awesome to me. I could just rattle on. Here's the whole thing boils down to. It's so easy. It's so easy, but at the same time, it's just so hard because we're fleshly, spiritual. And it's not spiritual to flesh, it's flesh to the spirit most of the time. Therefore, what I see, what I behold, my brain, what I know, my education, there's my limitations. God doesn't need college. I'm not saying college is bad. I'm not saying college is good. I'm saying college is a racket. That's what I'm saying. I'll tell you right now. High school was a racket for me. Ask me one thing I learned in high school. Like I learned to cheat. Straight up. I wasn't running for president, goodness. I learned how to cheat. I don't remember anything from high school. God doesn't need brains. He just needs stinking crazy faith. And people that just say, nope, this time, I'm putting this on everything God said I am. From now on is exactly what he said. Who cares about yesterday now? 14 years, I could cry about that, but from now on. Is there anybody, stand with me, if there's anybody here that's been in church for 20, 30, 40 years, that is your verse right there. You just say, well, guess what, from now on. In the time to come, I'm done playing games. And I'm done not believing. And I'm done expecting Laban's junk. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm done expecting this. This two wives. You got to be honest. You got your two wives. Like, where is the abundant, abounding, flowing, supernatural stuff? Oh, it's. You know, God's more natural than that. God isn't all wild, supernatural, crazy. Christians, they're going to be depressed, take pills, just like everybody else. They're going to have this problem just like everybody else. And if somebody starts believing that you can be healed of cancer, you wouldn't believe it in the church for the moment because you wouldn't want to offend people that weren't healed. Or healed in the way we thought they were going to be healed. And so just for the benefit of everybody else, we slow down. Or we don't grab it, or we don't believe, or we don't see it. And we limit it to categories. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. Not everyone's going to be a singer. Not everyone's just going to pray for people that are healed. But I'll bet you there's some of you that have the answer for PTSD. And if you went ahead with it, you could heal everyone around you that had it. Except not me. That could never happen. And you hear these little voices in your head and you're like, oh, that's just me trying to be cocky. I don't think I'm going to have an altar call. I'm just going to... This is my daughter's 12th birthday. Her middle name's Genesis. And so I'm parking in Genesis. I've only gotten through a couple of verses and we got the rest of the book to go. So... No, Sierra Genesis, I named her after Genesis. That's an awesome name. But think about that. Just think about the fact. I would go to conferences. I've been to conferences. I've been to big places like 3,000 people. And because of the times when I wasn't even in church, hardly 18, I think, years old. Hadn't even started preaching yet. But I'm sitting there on the front row and I'm thinking, like, at any moment, Mangan's handing me the microphone. That's exactly what I'm thinking on the front row. And the more I'm thinking it, the more I'm like, I sure hope he doesn't. But I'm sitting on the front row and I just can't get away from that feeling like he's getting ready to hand me the stinking microphone. I need to get out of here. And I went back a couple years later and I was preaching at that point in time and I was thinking the exact same thing. Except I wasn't afraid this time. And if every time I go back somewhere... That's what I'm thinking. Because I was made to have the microphone. Not saying that I must preach big things. I was made for that. Not by choice. By righteousness. So it's not arrogant when you're like, this could happen. I could do this. What if God worked through me like that? It's not, you need to let those dreams start going crazy. Because that's literally the word being manifested right here for Jacob is a dream word. Which is not natural stuff. What's your dream? What is your dream? And if you can do it, it's not a dream. If it seems impossible in the supernatural, it could very well be your dream. Now, from this moment forward, don't try to work it to pass. And don't settle for less than. but by faith in my righteousness.
That's the God part of me that I can't take credit for.
Everything that he wants to happen will happen from here on out. Is that a deal? Like, what's your dream? It's not you being cocky. Oh, you're just trying to grab the fame, blah, blah, blah. No.
You actually have to be noticed in the kingdom of God to do anything. There's no such thing as a faceless revival. A faceless revival. It's like there's faces everywhere. That's why we have First Chronicles. And everybody's name that was ever associated with the Bible is in there somewhere. Begat, 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 begat. We got to have everyone's name. Why? Because it matters. Because there's no such thing as a faceless revival. God puts a face on it. There's just not enough faces.
What's your dream?
I'm going to bet on my righteousness.
What's your dream?
I'm going to bet on my righteousness. When we had prayer Saturday, I don't know if you were here. If you were here, it was very powerful. Michael was talking about the way the enemy feels about the church, which is fear. They're afraid. So that's when you know you are coming face to face with your enemies, when you feel that. Because that's what he feels. You're being influenced by the wrong spirit. And you've got to recognize that, because he can only make you feel fear, because that's what he is, afraid. And so the moment I feel that, that's the wrong influence. And it's not that my faith is going to deny this is true. Faith doesn't need to deny facts. You know what faith does? It does not give facts influence.
That's what it does.
It does not let facts influence the word.
So it could be true, but it's not going to influence me. That's where faith is.
And so when that's you stepping into that place, you need to understand that the devil is afraid of you. And so you've got to learn to laugh at him. You've got to learn to look at yourself like I am the enemy's worst nightmare. Literally. Because the moment you are. The moment you know that, there's no stopping you. There's no such thing as fear grabbing your heart without hell being involved. And once you've conquered that, you don't have to worry about that stopping you. And so you no longer have to live under the influence of, if I had such and such, I would do such and such.
Don't live in fear. You don't have to have it all. The resources, the stuff, if you've got a crazy something or other and you just can't get away from it, it just very well may be the righteousness of God coming through you to this world. And he's blowing you up. How am I going to provide for my kids? Get awesome.
That's how you do it.
How's my family? How's not one of Jacob's kids going to get backslidden?
Have to have backslidden kids. Abraham, you do. Isaac, you do. Jacob, no. No, actually, they're all here.
That's an amazing thing.
They're all here. They're all leaders. Unreal. How'd that happen?
I just got awesome.
I just blew up.
You need to go crazy. Some of you are really good at being crazy in the natural.
You need to learn how to just turn loose in the spiritual.
Don't look at natural stuff and weigh it as being your spiritual influence. Amen?
Go in favor.
I would call Nathan DeLorenz out and say something about his keyboard playing not being natural. I wouldn't want to put him on the spot, so I probably won't say anything about that, Nathan. That's not natural. Some dude just get up there like, that's crazy. You got drummers everywhere, right? You don't have that. That's amazing. If it was me, I'd be saying like, that's me. That's my deal right there. If you have a church service, you want me on the keyboard. Amen. That's how you start feeling like that's, I was made for that. I was made for that. If you need a business idea, you need to ask me. Whatever it is, whatever you are, you need to take ownership of that. Blessing of God be upon you from this moment on, righteousness. Amen. God bless you. You don't got to give an offering right now. You don't have to self-encourage. You just have to start saying like, God is good. Mighty God. You that have been choosing to live through and endure, change to being loud. You're glorious, Lord. This creation is so beautiful, God. You've done wonders in my life, Jesus. Lord God, you are a great counselor to me. You've given me wisdom. How abundant, Lord, is the wealth of your knowledge, God, the mysteries that you've revealed only to your children. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you do. You start thanking him for revelation. You start thanking him for peace. You start glorifying him for whatever it is you're lacking in your situation. But you do know that every time you're speaking that out, you're bringing it here. You're a channel that's changing the atmosphere by your worship and by your praise. And so you ought to start trying it just right where you are. Change your chair. Just change right here. With your praise. Just change a couple of inches around you. This atmosphere right here is going to be full of God's glory because, Lord, I thank you for your majesty. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the face of grace. I thank you, Lord God, for the Godhead being revealed. Thank you, I've seen the good news in the face of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the weight of your majesty. I thank you, God, how you've touched down on the lives in this church. I thank you, Lord God, for the angels you've released on our behalf. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the miracle testimonies that are in this room, God. That's praise. That's praise. That's praise. We're good at everything but praise. We're out of time, I know, but we're good at everything but that. Praise. The easiest thing. That you don't got to carry nothing. You don't got no weight on your shoulders. You're just standing in His presence. You're thanking Him. What has He done for you? Thank Him. Thank Him that you're good looking. Thank Him that you've got good health. Thank Him that the Lord has given you eyes that you can see. You just thank Him for anything you can imagine right now. That's where praise starts to erupt.
That's where praise starts to erupt. You don't need an atmosphere. You're bringing it down wherever you are. He must show up. He promised He comes in praise. Yes! You ought to beat your hands together like cymbals right now. I'm done preaching, but I want you to go to praising right now. I want everybody in this building to give God praise in some shape, way, or form. I don't care what it is that you do. You can, but I just want you to praise Him right now. You're going home with this. You're going to be taking this into your environment. God everywhere, God anywhere. Oh, I don't need a move of God. I need Him to get out of me. I need to release what I've got inside of me. I got Him all over. Praise your marriage. Praise your spouse. Praise your children. Praise your boss. Praise God for your house. Praise God for your circumstances, your health. Praise God for your breath. It's prophetic. It's not there yet, but it will be. That's the point. It's not there yet, but it will be. You don't got it yet, but you will. That's prophetic praise, my friend. Hallelujah. It's celebrating. God won already. You just have to accept it, that He doesn't need you to fight for Him. He needs you to praise Him. He doesn't need my ability. He just needs my praise. That's it. That's where my faith is released. My faith's released when I give up trying. Yes, Jesus. Mike, listen to me here quick. Mike, Mike and I have been following this missionary named Charles Robinette. They just had a crusade in... Just slipped my mind, matter of fact, wherever they had the crusade.
Where?
Yeah, somewhere other than America. And so they have 10,000 people there. Over 6,000 people get the Holy Ghost in this crusade. But they have 80 deaf people healed. 70 blind people healed. That's just what they can count. You know how they did it? Praise. It was praise. There's nothing more humbling than knowing it's not me bringing it from America. It's not me showing up with my power and my gifts. It's just me magnifying the God who's been waiting on me to praise Him. And His glory gets released on other praisers. And it's so easy when that happens.
Praise God.
So that's all. That's all. If you have... Now let's just think about like three girls going back to college. They're probably a little bit outnumbered, right?
Not a chance.
You can't be outnumbered if you're a praiser. Because literally all of heaven does come down for that. So you can't count angels that are there. Miracles, promises, word. Wherever you work. Horrible, bad environment, toxic. Backbiting people. You make it your purpose to change the atmosphere there. Your wife, your husband, your kids, are you tired of the same old thing, the same old problem, the same? You ought to start praising. You ought to start praising for a change. Watch what will happen. You're coming into agreement with the words of life and not death. When you praise, you're coming in agreement with who God is and what God said and not the devil's side. Man, you're bad, you're powerful, you're mighty, as good as you can praise. How many battles can we talk about in the Old Testament that they just said, by the way, you don't need to do nothing but praise. That's a massive letdown when you're a warrior. So I want to shed some blood. God says, I don't need you. Like that hurts a bit. I've been training for this moment. And then God says, you're not preaching that. And you come back to that humbling moment again where you recognize he just needs a praiser. Don't throw down on that message. Tell somebody how good I am. And you just obey and boom. Because he just needs praisers. He doesn't need you to come into agreement with how bad it is. It's meant to be that bad. For you to change it. That is why you're there.
That's why you're there.
Where does God send Elisha? Or excuse me, Elijah. He sends him to a widow woman. Who the scripture says she's out of food. And the Lord sent him there to sustain him. Does that make any sense? So you're bringing me to a place where the woman's out of food, and that's where you're going to feed me for 3 more years. That's when you're like, God, you missed it. Unless you recognize that's why I'm there. It's because she has no food. I'm bringing all the provision of heaven, wherever I walk. So that's why I'm at her house. It's because she has no food. That's how it is everywhere you go. Man, if it was better, God could do something. That's why you're there. When it's out, when there's nothing, when it's empty, when it's hopeless, guess why you're there? You're greater than that. You've got all of heaven coming through you via provision. Oh, yes, that's how you change your world right there. I was born for crisis. You go looking for problems. It is God's will for you to change it. It is God's will for broken people to be healed. And if you find them, you heal. It is God's will for those things that are wrong to be righted. And when you find that, you heal it. You step in there and change it. It's not God's will for people to be abused. It's not God's will for there to be such a massive amount of addiction. It's not God's will for His people to back up into a corner either. We were meant for that. You step into it and you say, provision's coming. Believe me, provision's on its way. Glory's coming. There'll be food, don't you worry. Because I'm here with heaven's resources. You're empowered to make a difference on a heavenly realm, heavenly level. Well, I'm excited myself for everything that God's empowered all of you with. Praise God. How many of you going to praise when you get home? Would you much rather have a God who's finished? Who's done it? Now He just needs people to spread it. You've been taught you need to help Him. You don't. If you have faith, that means that you can praise. If you don't have faith, you're probably going to get under the weight of something and try to work. That's the difference. If I don't believe it, I will try to make it happen by my effort. If I believe it, I can speak. I can speak. I can just speak. Praise God. I just pray that you are just saturated with God's favor, goodness, and mercy. You know what we did? We went and praised. We praised and we praised, and the Indians got their hinies kicked. And we clapped, we yelled, we screamed, and it didn't do nothing for us. And I almost ate a whole entire bag of kettle corn, so I'm done after that game, and I don't feel that good at all. But I praised my guts out, and it didn't work. Seriously, gave it energy, effort, money, time. Like, it was almost a 4-hour game. And if you do all of that for God, it works every single time. It's just everything you're praising, drop it and turn all of that towards Him. And it never doesn't work. Never doesn't work. Praise God. Blessings of the Lord be upon you. Shake hands with